The Lord be with you. Welcome to worship this morning. Glad that you are here. If you are with us for the first time today, I especially want to welcome you as our guest. My name is Steve Price. I'm one of the pastors here, and on behalf of the congregation, again, welcome. Please let us know that you've been with us today, and you can do that by filling out the connection card that's located in your bulletin. If you're new, feel free to share as much information as you're comfortable. You can check off things that you're interested in knowing more about, as well as provide a prayer concern if you have one on the back of the card. And if you're here regularly, if you'll just at least put your name and email, that's very helpful as well. Today, our mission box for this week supports Grace Healthcare Services. You'll notice some information in your bulletin about that. And as you leave this morning, if you would like to make a contribution to support that initiative, you can do so at any of the mission boxes at the exit doors. This is the beginning week of starting to put together our Thanksgiving basket. And so each week from now until the week before Thanksgiving, you are being invited to bring a particular item so that by the time we get to just before Thanksgiving, we'll have all the items that we need to go into the basket. So you can keep an eye out in your bulletin for what each week will be. You can bring those Sunday, place them in the blue bin, or any time during the week as well. Drop them off here at the church office. And then lastly, I just want to call your attention again, as Catherine did last week, to the POV conversation. We are encouraging everyone who's a part of Trinity to participate in. POV stands for Point of View. You know, faithful Christians disagree about a number of things when it comes to how to understand and read and interpret Scripture on various topics, one of those being homosexuality. And that's an important conversation happening in our denomination right now. There will be a general conference in February of next year where some very important decisions will be made regarding the future. And in preparation for that, every congregation in Florida is being encouraged to hold these POV conversations. We had our first one yesterday. We had about 70 people come and sit around tables in groups of eight. The atmosphere that the curriculum provides is really one that is healthy and helpful in terms of inviting everyone to have a space to listen and to learn and also to share. There are two opportunities coming up. You'll see those in your bulletin. One will be on three consecutive Sundays. One will be on three consecutive Wednesdays. I really hope that each of you will take a look at that and find one of those opportunities that will work for you to be a part of. Whenever we gather here, we do so in the knowledge that we are welcomed by a God who loves each of us dearly, that we are all created in God's image. God opens God's arms wide to say to us, welcome home. Would you stand and greet one another with a warm welcome?
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's begin our worship service together by singing our opening hymn.
Please, Lord, the beauty of us
God, into this space we have come, where your Spirit meets us, ready to shape hearts and lives according to your purposes. So open our ears and our hearts and our very lives, so that you might do your work within us and among us. Amen. Would you remain standing and join me in an affirmation of faith this morning? This particular one comes to us from the Korean Methodist Church, from our brothers and sisters there, and we can join them in affirming these core foundational beliefs of our faith. Let us share together. We believe in one God, creator and sustainer of all things, father of all nations, the source of all goodness and beauty, all truth and love. We believe in Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, our teacher, example, and redeemer, the Savior of the world. We believe in the Holy Spirit, God present with us for guidance, for comfort, and for strength. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, in the life of love and prayer, and in grace equal to every need. We believe in the Word of God contained in the Old and New Testament, as the sufficient rule both of faith and of practice. We believe in the church, those who are united in the living Lord for the purpose of worship and service. We believe in the reign of God as the divine will realized in human society and in the family of God, where we are all brothers and sisters. We believe in the final triumph of righteousness and in the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in together as a community in prayer. I just wanted to mention to you, or have you see those that we've been visiting in the hospital rehabs and elsewhere, just a couple updates. John Baker has actually been moved over to Haven Hospice, and Phyllis Mueni has gone home from Haven Hospice this week. In addition to that, we obviously want to be praying for all those who are in the wake of Hurricane Florence, and for those in the Philippines who were devastated by the typhoon that came. I read yesterday that up to 5 million people are estimated to have been impacted by that typhoon. So a lot happening around our world where prayers are needed for people as they are piecing together their lives, especially those who have lost loved ones. On another note, I would ask you to join my family in prayer for the Geary family. Their 15-year-old son committed suicide on Friday. He was a close friend and a neighbor, close friend of Gabrielle's. And on a more joyful note, Wednesday celebration for those who are able to make it. We are so grateful for you guys coming out. It was a beautiful time of worship and celebration. Bringing an end to Aaron's 5 years among you as one of your pastors and sending him off in the Navy. We are so very grateful for the numerous ways that you all have shown your support and your love and for your generosity that not only clothes him in the cloth of our faith tradition, but also provides now for his new ventures and vocation as a naval chaplain. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts for each and every part that you've played in helping with the transition and your continued prayers as we move forward. We're going to go now in a time of prayer with God, and I'm going to let you start with a time of silence so that you can share with God whatever is on your heart that you brought with you this morning, and then I'll lead us in a time of prayer. Great light of the world, on flesh and came to dwell among us. May your name be praised above all other names. In your humanity, you experienced the depths of our pain and suffering. In your divinity, you walked among us with compassion and generosity, calming storms, healing disease, restoring sight to the blind, feeding thousands who were hungry, and extending grace to the outcast. God, after all that you have done to save and redeem us, our world continues to be a place where evil and darkness appear to have the upper hand. Our news is filled with natural disasters like hurricanes and typhoons, as well as violence, injustice, and tragedy. In your mercy, remind us of the power of your resurrection and the promise that even in the midst of our most difficult and painful trials, yes, even in our death, you are making all things new. Flood our lives with grace that overwhelms our fears, guides our decisions, and leads us onward towards the wholeness we all long for in our personal lives as well as in our communities and in our world. We intercede for those in need. May your healing power strengthen and sustain all those who are ill, injured, dying, or suffering. Grant them peace that passes human understanding and comfort them as they journey towards well-being. We also ask for you to protect those who serve in harm's way. Strengthen and empower them to be agents of your peace and justice in this world. No matter what life brings, may we cling to you in our moments of joy as well as in our hours of need. Where we struggle with doubt, help us with our unbelief. And illuminate our lives with your goodness as we pray together the words Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Thank you. as we just sang about God holding us in God's palm of God's hand, raising us up on eagle's wings, and creating those safe places of refuge where we can shine like the sun, it makes me think of this beautiful place that we have where Trinity resides, and the way that it is a refuge for so many with its natural beauty. And yet, Trinity as a church is so much more than just its buildings and its property. It is the people and the ministries of Trinity that encounter people and help them grow in their faith, becomes a means of grace that helps sustain others when they are facing very difficult times. And it's our community that becomes that refuge. And your financial gifts and your tithes enable us to continue those ministries here in our city and well beyond throughout the world. And so we thank you for that. And let's go to God now and offer these gifts to Him and dedicate them to Him in prayer. Let's pray. God, we thank you for all of the ways that you bless our lives. And we give back to you now out of our financial resources for the continuation of the ministries here amongst Trinity as your church. Help us to be a people of refuge, to be a people where people can learn to spread their wings and to fly and to shine like the sun in ways that illuminate your goodness and grace, reflect your character in the world, and invite others to join us on this journey. Multiply these gifts, Lord, that they may not only sustain the ministry of Trinity, but go well beyond that to make a difference in our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Lord your God am with you. What a powerful and beautiful reminder for us today. So does the Bible really say that? The last last couple of weeks, we've been looking at statements that sound like they're in the Bible, or we think they should be in the Bible. And some of them we say with the intention of being very helpful and comforting. And others just kind of roll off our tongues easily, and we don't think exactly about what they mean. And with most of these statements, there's a portion of truth in them, and yet they also might not quite get it all right. So this morning, we look at that phrase, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. How many of you have ever said that to someone? And how many of you have heard that from someone? Yes, lots of us along the way. So that's what we're going to look at today. And we'll try to make a little bit of sense out of it. And as we begin, I invite you to bow your heads and pray for me in sharing this with you. And I'll pray for you that God will speak to you this morning as we worship together. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and redeemer. Amen. So some of you may know that Steve and I have a 21-year-old son, and when he was born with a rare birth defect called Pierre-Robin syndrome. What that means is that sometime in utero, his jaw stopped growing, and then his tongue went to the roof of the mouth, and then his palate didn't close. And because of that, it wasn't like the hereditary cleft lip and cleft palate. He didn't have a break in the lip or in the gum line, but there was nothing inside his gum line. There was nothing in the roof of his mouth. But more significant than that was the fact that his jaw didn't grow. And because his jaw didn't grow, his airway was very small, and he would stop breathing numerous times in an hour, and he couldn't eat, and so he had a G-tube for almost 2 years, which we fed him through. He was in the neonatal intensive care unit for 10 weeks when he was born before we were able to bring him home with home health care. And while we were sitting in the NICU every day for 10 weeks, I heard at least a dozen times and maybe more, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. I remember one day I was sitting there holding Sid, and a nurse came up and started talking to me, and she was talking about how difficult Pierre-Robin is and that it's very frightening when your child can't breathe, and so hard when they're not able to breastfeed or even use a bottle. And then she said to me this version of God will give you more than you can handle. With the very best of intentions, she said to me, you and Steve are such good parents, and you're such faithful Christians. God sure knew what he was doing when he gave you Sid, because you guys can handle it. I tried to keep a straight face and look at her heart and what she was trying to say, but what I heard was, you all are such faithful Christians and good parents that God gave you the prize of a child with all of these difficulties. And God knows that you can handle it. Really? Really? Is that what we mean when we say God doesn't give us more than we can handle? say that to somebody else. I don't think so. And I don't think that's what Scripture says either. So, I'll tell you where I think that comes from and how it's gotten distorted along the way. So, I invite you to read along with me as I read from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. So if you think you're standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, He will also provide a way out so that you may be able to endure it. My bet is that this statement, God doesn't give you more than you can handle, is a distortion of this very scripture reading. And I say distortion because there are a couple of major differences between that statement, God doesn't give you more than you can handle, and these two verses. The first is that this scripture is talking about temptation. The Greek word in this can be translated either as tempt or test. It says God will not let you be tempted beyond your strength. The context of this scripture reading and the several chapters that precede it are also talking about temptation. Corinth, in the time of Paul, was known as the center of idolatry. It was a hotbed of temple worship, and people were encouraged to eat food that had been offered to idols. Sexual immorality, temple prostitution, and idolatry were rampant. And Paul was writing to the church in Corinth to warn them about this idolatry and immorality, and to encourage them to remain strong in the face of temptation. And so he reminded them that they wouldn't be tempted or tested beyond what they could handle, and that along with whatever temptation came their way, God would provide them a way out. God would not let them be tested beyond their strength. So, if Paul is talking about temptations here, then we don't need to distort this to imply that Paul is talking about illness or disease or cancer or birth defects. This scripture is about the ways in which we are tempted, not hardships and difficulties and even tragedies that come our way. And I say that come our way because that's another distortion of this scripture reading. If you look at the first part of the sentence, it says, God is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond your strength. It doesn't say God won't test you, because it is not God who gives us the temptation. God does not tempt us. In another letter in the New Testament, a little letter called James, chapter 1, verse 13, James says, no one, when tempted, should say, I am tempted by God. Because God cannot be tempted by evil, and God tempts no one. But James says, God tempts no one. Paul doesn't say God doesn't test you beyond your strength, but instead he says God will not let you be tested beyond your strength. That's the other distortion in this statement, that God doesn't give you more than you can handle. It implies that it is God who gives you the hardship or heartache or illness or disease. And as I said 2 weeks ago, I don't believe that God does those things. God is all good and all does not need to cause bad things to happen in order to bring about good. Actually, as opposed to giving us trauma or tragedy, James says exactly the opposite about God. Every generous act of giving, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. It's not simply that God doesn't give us more than we can handle. God doesn't give us at all the bad and devastating things. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. So perhaps we should find something else to say when we are trying to offer someone comfort in the face of hardship or distress. Instead of saying, God won't give you more than you can handle, what if we said, God will help you handle all that life gives you? Let me say that again. God will help you handle all that life gives you. And then maybe the next thing that we, as a body of Christ, need to say after that is simply, and how can I help you? Because life is really hard sometimes, and we need God to help us through, and we need one another as the body of Christ. That's the final hidden message in the scripture for this morning. When it says, God will not let you be tested beyond your strength, the you is plural. So that means we in the South would say y'all, or as somebody said this morning, we might say all y'all if we're in the Deep South. So that makes this statement, God won't let all y'all be tested beyond your strength, but will also provide the way out so that all y'all will be able to endure it. It's a reminder to us that not only will God provide us with the strength to handle the tragedies and the challenges of life, but God has given us each other to offer strength and support. We can stand with the person who is falling. We can provide strength and support in tangible ways. We can be a refuge for those who seek shelter from the storms of life. Psalm 42 says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea. God is our refuge and strength, and we can be a refuge and strength for others. When we brought Sid home from the hospital, we were still overwhelmed and having a very difficult time. And we had just moved to Bradenton. We had no family there. We hadn't even had a chance to make any friends yet. And we didn't have a church family because we were sent there to do a new church start. So one of my friends who lived about 5 hours away really wanted to be able to help in some tangible ways, but she couldn't because she wasn't there. So she called an old friend of hers, a sorority sister, from college and said, you live in town with my friend and I wondered if you could do something to help. And so Jody called me and she said, hey, could I just bring a meal on Friday night for you and your family? And I said, sure. So on Friday night, as I opened the door and saw Jody standing there with this meal, I began to weep. I couldn't do anything other than just weep. And she came in and put the meal down and sat with me, and she listened to me. And she cared for me. She sat with me for about an hour and then left the meal. And as she was leaving, she said, "Hey, could I just bring you a meal every Friday night?" And she did. And every time she came to the door, no matter how hard I tried, I would open the door and see her and just start bawling. Because there she was as a tangible sign of God's refuge and strength for me during that incredibly difficult time. You know, one of the things I've noticed about you, Trinity, is that you are like that. People go through training for months to be able to be a Stephen minister so that they can just know how to sit and listen to someone as they are going through a difficult time. And Sunday school classes care for one another in amazing ways. Someone told me after the early service that when his wife was diagnosed with terminal cancer, from March to October, he had a meal delivered to him Monday through Friday, every single week. And we have the caregiver support group for those who are struggling with cancer. And we have people who go to hospitals and the homebound just to be with them and to visit them as a part of our care team. Y'all get this, that we are in this together and that we offer one another tangible signs of God's love and support. So does the Bible say God won't give you more than you can handle? No. Absolutely no, it does not. But what it does say, and what is consistent throughout Scripture, is that God will help us handle all that life gives us. So let's go out and share that amazing word of hope. That God will help us handle all that life gives us. Because we know that God is our refuge and strength. God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. Would you repeat that after me? God is our refuge and strength. God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that when we are going through the trials and challenges, the tragedies and traumas, the difficulties of life, that you are there with us. That you help us to handle all that life brings our way. We thank you also for a community of faith to surround us and strengthen us with love and support as the body of Christ, witnessing to your love and support in our lives. So, oh God, help us as we go out to be that for others, to remind them of your strength and refuge, to offer them love and support in tangible ways, because we know that you are with us, that you are a very present help in times of trouble. For this, and for the gift of Jesus Christ, we give you thanks. Amen.
found friends coming and offering her a meal, a tangible sign of God's hope and presence during a very difficult time in her and Steve's life. And this table is meant to do the same thing, for it has been a table of refuge ever since the first time the Israelites gathered around the Passover table. And they gathered not just one at a time by themselves, but they gathered with friends and family so that they could encourage and remind one another of God's faithfulness and extend that to one another. And likewise, the night before Jesus gave his life for us on the cross, he gathered with his friends around the table, and he did so to remember the strength and faithfulness of God for what he was about to do, and to provide them with a tangible means of God's grace so that again and again they could be reminded that no matter what they faced, God was with them, and that God would empower them to be there for each other. And so he took the bread, and he gave thanks to the Father, and Jesus broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he took the cup, and he gave thanks to the Father, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many. Often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." You know, God knows sometimes life is really hard. And yet, God is a very real and present hope with us. And this table is an opportunity for us to come and receive a tangible means of God's grace that works in and through us and unites us not only with God and reminds us of God's faithfulness, but unites us together as the body of Christ so that we can be a means of grace to one another. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on this bread and on this juice and each of us gathered here, that as we come and receive the bread and cup, that it may be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ that redeems us and makes us the body of Christ in the world. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, make us one with you and one with each other in ministry to all the world until you come again in final victory, and we all, everyone who's come before us and is and will be, we all feast together around your table and celebrate that you have made all things new. But until that day comes, Lord, life can be hard, and we thank you that you are in it with us, that you will never abandon us or forsake us, and you call us to be a community that surrounds one another in ways that are real and tangible means of grace. We come and receive. May we receive what you have for us. May it nourish us. And may we be your body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are going to be serving with us to go ahead and come forward now and get the elements ready. In the United Methodist Church, and here at Trinity, everyone, I mean, all y'all are welcome at God's table, because this is Christ's table. And so all we ask is that you respond to the Holy Spirit at work in your life, and whatever that means for you today, know that Jesus just wants to meet you where you are, and to provide a means of grace that can help sustain you in your journey, and then enable us to help each other in that. So as you come forward, we'll ask you to begin at the front of your sections and exit to the left. We'll tear off a piece of bread and we'll hand it to you, and you can dip it into the cup and you can eat it. And then you can come and kneel and pray along the rails if you would like, or you can return to your seat by the right side of your section. If you need gluten-free, we have that. Just let us know. We'll be happy to serve you. But all is ready. Come, y'all. All y'all, come. good news is that God is a very real and present help in our times of trouble. And he gives us this table to come back to week after week. So here's the Spirit saying to y'all, come back now. Come again. Come as often as you need. And may we be the body of Christ that surrounds one another and helps one another if they're stumbling, falling, or having a difficult time. That's right. God of mercy and grace, we thank you for the gift of your table and the reminder that you are with us and for us, and that you pave a way for us to be able to lean into you and lean on each other when we need it the most, so that even in the face of difficult and hard things, even tragic things, we know that we can lean on you to help steer us until we meet you face to face. And so continue to work in us and help us to be the body of Christ for one another, bringing glory to you in all that we do, until everyone comes to know that you love them and that you have done all that is necessary. We give you thanks and praise.
Y'all, I invite you to take a hand or shoulder of someone near you as you are able, and may